Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Burke Allen Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network, live from our Washington, D.C. studios. If you'd like to be a part of the program today, the number to call is 714-242-5220. That's 714-242-5220. You're also welcome to join us in the chat room and chat with our guest today, Dr. Constance Vincent, the author of Not Going Gently. And the old adage is that no one's getting any younger. Dr. Vincent is an expert on the topic of healthy aging, and her book is a nonfiction memoir that talks about her own fight back against Alzheimer's for her mother and perhaps herself. Dr. Vincent is a psychologist based in Northern California, and Dr. Constance Vincent, welcome to the Burke Allen Show. Thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Hello, Burke. Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're very welcome, and the book, Not Going Gently, of course, available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, bookstores everywhere. Tell me about the genesis of the book and your interest in healthy aging and Alzheimer's. Did this begin with your mom?
Well, my interest in Alzheimer's began with my mother, yes, but I'm a developmental psychologist, and so I've been interested in the study of aging for many, many years and have taught many classes on how we change throughout life, but most of my emphasis was always on normal age changes, and I really was not very much concerned with looking at diseases and other kinds of problems that I left for abnormal psychology. But at a certain point, my father began having problems with his memory, and we later realized he probably had vascular dementia before he died. And at about the same time, my mother was getting to have many more problems with memory. And I really began to look into this seriously at that point, partly because I wanted to help my mother, and also partly because I realized that with both parents having some form of dementia, I probably had some of a risk myself. So I must admit that I had a little bit of a selfish interest in this, but I was at the beginning very, very concerned with my mother and the early stages.
Our guest, if you're joining us, is Dr. Constance Vincent, and the book Not Going Gently is, you know, it's really a very sort of dramatic story of someone like yourself who's a professional in this field, but then suddenly it's right there in front of you. And I wonder if that changed your outlook on aging and sort of maybe made you more empathic to those that have to deal with this sort of thing.
Well, it did, but I had to also recognize, and I want to stress this, that aging does not cause Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's is a disease, and not everyone who ages will have it. But the fact is that the risk increases considerably as we get older. And it also doubles if we're women. Women have almost twice as much risk of developing Alzheimer's as men do. So, and in the country right now, with the baby boomers aging, we're seeing a huge increase of people who are at risk of Alzheimer's disease. So all of these factors came together. And the dramatic part was really in my mother's story, which had a lot of drama involved in that.
You know, Dr. Vincent, you mentioned that it's not a necessarily always connected with aging, and I think in the last year, an awful lot of people became more aware of that because of the movie Still Alice, where Julianne Moore was, you know, just incredible in that role as a young, middle-aged, very educated woman who did contract Alzheimer's disease and advanced dementia. Is that still, though, the exception rather than the rule that early onset Alzheimer's is maybe not as prevalent maybe as one might think after seeing that movie? Or is it something that that we should all be cautious of, and in fact, there are some warning signs that we should look towards.
Well, Alice had what they call early onset Alzheimer's, which can start as young as around 40, 45 years old, and that was true in her case. And that happens to have different causes. That one is caused by genes. And as you saw, if you saw the movie or if you read the book, the family became very concerned, and one daughter did turn out to have the genes for early onset Alzheimer's. So it's a different category, and it only affects about 5% of Alzheimer's patients. It's a much smaller category. The usual onset of Alzheimer's will begin sometime in the 60s. And at about the age of 65, maybe 10 to 20% of the population has what they call mild cognitive impairment. And that is when they're starting to have some problems with their memory, perhaps getting a little bit confused in terms of spatial directions, things like that. And for many of them, they will just stay at that level. But 15% of them will progress to Alzheimer's each year. And by the time that we're age 71, 16% of women will have Alzheimer's disease, about 11% of men. By the time we get up to the age of 85, the numbers are almost 1 in 2 will have some form of dementia. So you see, it does increase with age, but it doesn't affect everyone.
Do we know, Dr. Vincent, why there are much higher instances of Alzheimer's in women than men?
Well, for a long time, Burke, it was considered that it was because women lived longer. And only in the past year or so has the thinking on this changed. There's been a lot more research now on the effects of hormones and also on the different genes and so on. The gene that is most associated with Alzheimer's disease at this point is a gene that affects a protein called APOE4. And we each get one copy of that gene from each parent. And for some reason or other, it affects women more when they have these genes. And if they were to get, there are different alleles of it, there are different types of the APOE gene, but the one that affects Alzheimer's is the one, the APOE4. And if you have two copies of that, your risk is much higher. But again, with these diseases, it's always a question of risk. It's not determined that you would have Alzheimer's if you were to have genetic tests taken and they found that you had two copies of APOE4. That doesn't necessarily mean that you will have Alzheimer's disease, but it does mean that you have a higher risk for it. And so all of these things are correlations. They're factors that are possible, but the true cause, the complete cause, is still not really determined. In fact, they found
our guest is Dr. Constance Vincent, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. I wanted to make sure we let folks know the book is called Not Going Gently. Dr. Constance Vincent is our guest today, and if you have an interest in healthy aging and prevention plans that are pretty groundbreaking, on how to actually not only predict, but get in front of, possibly with lifestyle changes, lessen the chance of Alzheimer's. You've got to stick around with us. Dr. Vincent, I'm sorry, go ahead. You started to say?
Oh, I was saying that they have found in autopsies that people may have APOE4 protein and that in their brain, but they don't have Alzheimer's, and the reverse is also true. So as I said, there's a correlation, but it does not cause, and that's why it's not really recommended to go out and have genetic testing to see if you might be at risk for Alzheimer's. It's much better to put your emphasis and interest, as you were starting to say, Burke, into the idea of prevention, and that's really where we are today. We have to start looking at how to prevent Alzheimer's and other dementias before the symptoms begin. And I'd like to mention that there are different types of dementia. Alzheimer's happens to be one of the most common ones that we talk about because it accounts for about 70% of the irreversible dementias. But there are some dementias that are reversible, and medical testing can really determine these. For example, if someone is hypothyroid or has depression or vitamin B12 deficiencies or has a brain tumor or toxic reaction to drugs, all of those problems can be causing dementia signs, and a doctor can determine them and eliminate them. But with the irreversible kinds of dementia, Alzheimer's is the leading one. And with these irreversible dementias like Alzheimer's, the terrible thing is that we don't have a lot of warning until the signs are there. And yet the brain cells have been dying for 10 to 15 years before the symptoms occur. And probably about one-fifth of the brain core is destroyed to some extent. We have 100 billion neurons. We've got a lot to spare, but still we get to the point where it's just too late for help. And at a certain point, there is no medicine, no cure, nothing that can be done. So we really do have to take charge of our lives while we're capable of it and be very proactive and really work on prevention so that we don't get to that point.
Our guest today is Dr. Constance Vincent. The book is called Not Going Gently, A Psychologist Fights Back Against Alzheimer's for a Mother and Perhaps Herself. You can find her online at www.drclvincent.com. That's drclvincent.com. The book is available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, bookstores everywhere. And when we come back after the break, Dr. Vincent, I want to talk with you about those preventative measures that we can all take part in terms of healthy aging, to maybe get in front of that curve before it's too late. But I also would like for you to share some personal stories of the struggles that you went through that you highlight, I think, so eloquently in your book, Not Going Gently. Can you stick around for just a couple of minutes?
I will be glad to.
Great. Thank you very much. More with Dr. Constance Vincent right after this on The Burke Allen Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network.
Over 14 million people witnessed his emotional story of survival and triumph on national television.
I've been doing this now for so long, like ever since I was a kid.
Millions more voted him their favorite in a landslide win.
The winner is...
And now, you can be a part of the experience live.
Landau Eugene Murphy!
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
Your America's Got Talent winner.
I've got you.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Under my
live, live. Performing classics from the Great American Songbook and his Columbia Records debut CD, That's Life.
That's Life.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.'s That's Life Tour. The one concert event this year you absolutely can't miss.
See Landau Eugene Murphy Jr. live in concert. For dates and more info, visit LandauMurphyJr.com. Welcome back to the Burke Allen Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network, live from our Washington, D.C. studios. The number, if you'd like to be a part of the program, is 714-242-5220, 714-242-5220. For our guest, Dr. Constance Vincent. Her book is Not Going Gently, A Psychologist Fights Back Against Alzheimer's for Her Mother and Perhaps for Herself. And she joins us on the line from the Bay Area in Northern California. Dr. Vincent, before we talk about what we can all do to potentially get in front of this this terrible disease, you are a healthy aging expert, and I'm sure you've got some feedback on that. I'd like to ask you some sort of personal stories, and you do talk about these things in the book, because it really is, at the end of the day, the book is a mother-daughter memoir. It's, you know, you as a very educated woman who had quite a bit of experience as a psychologist in healthy aging, and then suddenly you face, Alzheimer's with your father and then very much with your mom. What was the first warning sign that you saw with your mother?
With my mother? I think that the first one I saw was right after my father passed away. She came to Mexico with us for a little short time because we didn't want her to be left alone. And I found her sobbing in the bedroom one day. And I left her alone for a while because I thought, well, she's dealing with her grief and so on. And finally, when she stopped crying, I went in and to sit with her. And I realized in our conversation that she did not remember that my father had passed away. I think she felt that she was just lost and confused and didn't know where she was. And maybe it was a result of the tremendous change in her life, the tremendous stress that she had gone through. But that was quite a shock for me. That was very dramatic that she did not recognize something that had happened just a few days prior to that. And that was pretty serious, of course, you know, and of course it's very difficult when people have memory problems. We're told not to just change the subject, but in this case it was something that I felt I had to bring her around to the present so that she was aware of what was happening, and we talked and she was okay with it. But that was a shock. And then the next time when she came to visit me, she got off the plane, and of course my brother had to take her right to the gate, and when I met her, I would meet her right at the gate. And she got off and she said, "Will, how did you know how to be here today?" And she said, "I told your brother that, no, I told Michael, that's my brother's name, that I would see you today, she thought I was her sister, that I told him I'd see my sister today." And he said, "Mom, how do you think you're going to see your sister?" But she thought I was her sister. And this happened on and off for a while, that I guess in her memory, we were all children still. And our middle-aged selves were her siblings. So those were things. But she wasn't particularly bothered with it. She felt that this is something that happened with age and there was nothing you could do about it. And she would sort of make jokes about it. When she called me her sister, I'd say, "Which sister?" And she'd say, "Well, I was hoping you'd tell me." And she'd laugh, you know. So it wasn't really that frightening to her, but it was probably a lot more frightening to me, Berg.
Well, you know, there's a documentary that has gotten an awful lot of acclaim that's come out in the last year about the musician Glenn Campbell, who has been fighting very valiantly against this disease, and he and his family decided he would do a farewell tour. And I'm not sure if you've seen this documentary, but he did this entire farewell tour, and it certainly seemed to be much more stressful and trying on those around him than on Glenn Campbell himself. He seemed to very much like your mother, sort of cover for himself. And then things turned for Glenn Campbell, and there would be, you know, serious emotions. You know, there would be angry outbursts, and he would get very disoriented in different rooms and that sort of thing. And you talk about some of that with your mom, too. I mean, there were some very difficult times caring for your mom to the point where she was, you know, became a resident of a memory center, sort of a step-down facility.
Yes, yeah, that's definitely true. It can become very very difficult. Different parts of the brain can be affected with these diseases, and some of them will cause the patient to have much more anger or emotional outbursts, and they become much more difficult to control. My mother was not one who was particularly like that. She was in general. Very easygoing, except that when my brother put her into a nursing home, and in the beginning it was just a senior residence because he had custody of her, so to speak. He was single and had no children, and my father and mother had moved to Nevada to be near my brother because of that, and because of the fact that he's a doctor, and he seemed like the logical person to take care of them. But when my father died, my brother didn't want her to be alone at his house while he was working during the day. And so he put her into a residential care center. And when he would take her to his house to visit, she refused to go back. She really put up a big fight. These were the only times I knew about her really fighting. And she, on one occasion, hid under the bed, and he had to kind of drag her out and put her back into this car. And so you could see, I mean, my mother really wanted to stay with her family. And I think that I think that her being in that home, while his intentions were very good, I think it was one of the conditions that exacerbated her dementia, because there are risk factors that are involved. And the fact that she was so disoriented with my father's death and then being placed in this residential care system, this disorientation is one major factor. The loneliness that she had at being away from her family for the first time in her life. She'd never been away from family. And it led to depression and anxiety. And then, of course, the nutrients were not there for her, and she didn't have a very high education. And there are several other factors that are physical factors that can be controlled to help prevent dementia or help people from getting to the point where my mother did. But unfortunately, in her case, these things were not really done or taken care of. And there's another factor that's in psychology they call the beautiful indifference, la belle indifférence in French. It's in some mental conditions they have the wonderful way of kind of tuning it out. And I think that was the Glen Campbell thing in the beginning. And you know, it's just so prominent now. We know Jack Nicholson is not taking any more acting roles because he's fighting with dementia. So there's a lot to do. We just have to start early. This is the main thing in my book, Burke, is I really want to stress that there are three things that we have to do. The individual has to work on early prevention for himself or herself. No one else can do that for him. The family has to work on better planning than my family had. We made a lot of mistakes. And finally, society has to work on ways in which to protect people in the care and in the education and in the research, raising the funds for it. But I think we should talk more about the prevention because this is the key. If we can prevent it, the other two factors aren't going to be so necessary. Is that right?
So, absolutely. And I will tell you that Dr. Vincent's book, Not Going Gently, it's just full of love and wisdom. It's very profound and touching. And there was a quick anecdote in there, and then I do want to talk about the prevention, where you were able to take your mom to the movies for one last time, and you took her to see Mamma Mia, and you know, you held her hand there as the song slipping through your fingers is on the screen. And it's a very warm, touching book, and certainly you and your family did everything that you could to help. But let's spend, because we have just a couple of minutes left, on maybe your top three tips of what we all can do to get in front of things before it's too late. And before, as you said, you know, sometimes this goes on 10, 15 years, you know, it's in there before we know, and then it's too late to do anything about it. So preventatively, when do we start and what do we do?
Well, we start now, but we certainly start by the time we're 50 or 60 years old. And I really want to be addressing this to the baby boomers in particular, because they're aging, you know, so many more of them each year. And this is just going to keep going, but they are at the point where many of them maybe are already seeing this problem with their parents, and yet they're young enough that they can prevent this for themselves. So the first thing I would say, the research is showing the biggest change that you can make in your life is regular exercise, at least 5 days a week, at least half an hour a day. That is the minimum. And it really doesn't matter, apparently, which kind of exercise you're doing. You don't have to go to the gym and knock yourself out. But at the very least, you should be taking a good walk, half an hour a day, 5 days a week. And why? What does this do for you? Well, for one thing, it prevents shrinkage in the hippocampus. The hippocampus is the part of the brain where the short-term memories are first formed. And as we begin to age, that starts to lose about 1% each year in the hippocampus, the neurons, 1% less each year. Now, with exercise, the hippocampus will gain an additional 1% of neurons each year. That's a 2% turnaround. And that bit of exercise that we do has been shown now in a number of studies to lower your risk of getting Alzheimer's or other dementias by 40%. That is the best thing you could do for yourself, and it is so simple. The second best thing would be to change your diet. And we know because of heart disease and other diseases that lifestyle changes like exercise and diet change, they've made a big difference in the number of people who have cardiac arrests and strokes and so on. Those numbers are all coming down. The same thing will happen with Alzheimer's, because what's good for your heart is good for your brain too. So we are looking at the same kinds of diets. A Mediterranean diet will reduce your risk of Alzheimer's and dementia by 20%, according to the studies. That's vegetables, fruits, fish, nuts, and seeds. Turmeric, very important. That's the curcumin that goes on curry and so on. Coffee, 2 or 3 cups a day, very good for you. Red wine, if you don't already drink, don't start. But if you do drink moderately, some red wine is good. Dark chocolate, there are a number of things, and I've tried to list them all in my book. There's some supplements to consider. I've listed those in the book, too. But these are things that we can do easily for ourselves. I think it's so important to recognize that too often we've been in the habit of just kind of drifting through life and not doing a whole lot for ourselves. And we go to work, we come home, we're tired, we watch television. If we get sick, we call the doctor. And that is changing. I think we're seeing a power-to-people movement that's growing away from authoritarian models. We don't like the authoritarian police. We don't like authoritarian politicians, and we're not so keen on authoritarian doctors anymore either. We really want to take charge of our own health, to be proactive, to do what we can to prevent any illness before it begins. And this is really what I'm so interested in getting a message across to people, because I think it is so important for all of us to do what we can now.
The book is all about love, aging, loss, and most importantly, how to get in front of that loss. It's called Not Going Gently. The author, Dr. Constance Vincent, is an expert on healthy aging. She's a psychologist, and the book details her fight back against Alzheimer's for her mother and perhaps herself. And it sounds like, as it turns out, the best things that we can do to prevent Alzheimer's are the things that we can do to keep a healthy body. It turns into nutrition and lifestyle changes and exercise and all those things that we know are good for us and we should be doing anyway. Dr. Vincent, thank you for spending some time with us on the telephone today, and best of luck to you with the book.
Thank you very much, Burke.
You're very welcome. Dr. Constance Vincent, our guest. You can find her online at drclvincent.com. That's drclvincent.com. The book, again, Not Going Gently. And thanks to Dr. Constance Vincent, our guest today on the Burke Allen Program. Now go out and make it a great day.